Thirdly and finally tonight, how can I know that God really exists? Well, there are three ways that we can know that God really exists. The first of them is the testimony of creation. Let's turn to the book of Romans together tonight, shall we? Book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 1, and verses 19 and 20. We know that God really exists, first of all, because of the testimony of creation, the fact that things have been made. Verse 19 of Romans 1 is, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Interesting statement. I've shared with you at different times how during my teen years particularly I was an atheist. But I've come to realize that making a statement like that is one of the most foolish statements you can make. Saying that you're an atheist is actually saying you know it all. And the fact is that none of us know it all. How do you know that God doesn't exist outside of your knowledge? And yet here the Bible says to us that since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God have been clearly seen by what has been made. If you want to know whether God exists or not, then for goodness sake, open your eyes and take a look around you. You know, I mean, welcome to the Bayside Church Auditorium. No one built this. We just stumbled across it one day and we walked in and we thought, wow, isn't this awesome? This would make a good church. Let's meet here. And you're all looking at me like I've lost the plot, because if I really believed that, I would have lost the plot. The fact is that a lot of people worked very hard to build this nice auditorium. This auditorium with nice carpet and paint and lights and all that you see around you had a designer, had an architect, and had a maker, or in fact several makers, to make sure that it was built according to specifications. Why do we think that the world around us is just the random accident of some mere chance that took place? You know, to say this all just evolved over billions and billions of years, that takes more faith than to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. It really does. Because the very statement of this all evolving and that perfection and order came out of chaos without anyone having anything to do with it flies in the face of everything we see around us every day. Just think about your garden for a moment. If your garden's anything like my garden, your garden, you just leave it alone, right? And it gets better and better and better, huh? And you know, the weeds, well, they grow up, but they just die. But all the other plants come up, and it's just absolutely beautiful. You never need to prune your roses. You don't have to deadhead them or anything like that. They just drop off in time, and the blooms come out beautifully fresh. And no, it's not the way it is it? To keep your garden nice takes a lot of work, a lot of hard work. What about your house, ladies? Never have to do housework, do you? You know, sit at home all day and watch reruns of Days of Your Lives. Yeah, right. No such thing as dust. Flush the toilet. You want to clean the toilet? Well, just flush it. And that's all lovely and clean, you know. I mean, maybe some young single guys live that way. I don't know. You never need to vacuum your carpet or any of that. We just leave it and it all goes from chaos to order. No, it takes a lot of hard work to keep a house neat and tidy and clean. The fact is that, you know, and even science itself says that things left to itself go from good to bad and from bad to worse. And yet evolution tries to tell us that things go from bad to better and better to good and good to great. And that flies in the face of all scientific teaching that says exactly the opposite. To say that we just are the product of a monkey that became lucky over the process of time, that one day an amoeba just decided to, you know, multiply and then grow legs and crawl out of the slime and gradually over the process of time become a monkey and a human being, is some of the most ridiculous stuff I've ever heard in my entire life. It takes so much more faith to believe that than to believe that an intelligent mind, an eternal God, has always existed And it came into his mind to create something. And what we see around us in this world, it's not perfect because we've stuffed it up over the process of time, but it's beautiful. The creation of God is beautiful. It operates according to laws and patterns and processes. And to look at that, you've got to know that there is a God, because it wouldn't happen like that otherwise. And so you know that God exists because of the things that He has made. On my hand, I've got a wristwatch, and it's a nice wristwatch. It's a Jag one. Got given it by the radio station that I used to work for when I left there. And it's a little bit intricate. I'm sure that if I flipped it over and flipped the back off it, there'd be some very intricate little workings in there. And yet I tell you what, folks, the intricacy in this hand and this wrist that wear the watch is far more detailed than anything in this watch. And to say that this watch had a maker, but this hand and this wrist are part of a body that evolved from a monkey is ridiculous. I rest my case. Oh yeah. So the testimony of creation, how can I know that God exists? Open your eyes and look around you. Also, the testimony of conscience. We're in the book of Romans. The testimony of conscience, I should say. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says there, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. Every human being has the law of God written on their heart. That's why you can go anywhere in the world and talk to people of whatever faith you like, or even of people of no faith, but the majority of people, unless they have become reprobate in some way, know deep within themselves what is right and what is wrong. It's the testimony of conscience. What is it in a human being where we instinctively know to do what is right? Even if we don't do what is right, we know that is wrong what we've just done. And we know that is right, and that's what we should do. It's what God has put in our hearts. When He created us, when He created human beings, He wrote the law of God, the commandments of God on our heart. We all instinctively know that it is wrong to steal, for example. Now, there are people who go ahead and steal. I did before I became a Christian. I worked in a record shop over in Perth. And in the couple of years that I was there, I stole records, tapes, and money out of the till. But I knew what I was doing that was wrong. And when I became a Christian, I contacted my boss because they sacked me for stealing, but they could never ever prove it. But when I became a Christian, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that what I had done was wrong, and I rang my boss and I apologized and I said, you were right, I did steal stuff and I would like to repay it. And I wasn't a wealthy guy, I was at Bible college, and most people know that students are not the wealthiest people around, but I wrote out a check that was equal to my fees for Bible college for that semester. It was $1,000, and I repaid what I believe I had stolen from them. I instinctively knew what to do. It was in my heart, you know. We know, husbands, you know it's wrong to cheat on your wife. You know that instinctively within you, whether you're a Christian or not. You know that it's wrong. And we know that the commandments of God are right, and we know when we're doing right, and we know when we're doing wrong, because it's written in our hearts by a Creator. That's why we know God exists. Because otherwise, if there was no God, then why would we have rules and regulations and things that we could do and things that we couldn't do? Why not go just do what you want to do? Why not just live the way that you want to do, want to live? If we're just a lucky monkey and this is all there is to it, and one day we're going to die and we're buried and this body's just going to dissolve and that's the end of you, then why not just live the way you want to live right now? You know, why not just become the most selfish, preoccupied character that you possibly could be? Nearly used another word there for a moment, but I won't. You know, why not? If there is no God, if there is no morality, if there's no rights and wrongs, there's no blacks and whites, then why not live the way you just would love to live? But if there is a God and the law of God is written on your heart, The very fact that you don't live the way you want to live, the very fact that you live according to certain rules and regulations, the very fact that you live knowing that even when you do something that's wrong, that it is wrong, you are proving to yourself over and over and over again that God exists and that He made you. The testimony of Christ. God came to earth as a human being, Jesus. That's how we know God exists. God didn't just stay there up in heaven thinking nice thoughts about us. He left the comfort and glory of heaven, the Bible says, and He came to earth and He was born as a human being. And we know that God exists because of the person of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son." Jesus said in John 14:9, He was addressing Philip, one of His disciples. He says, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Isn't that an amazing statement? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. Because that's who Jesus was and is. God in human form. God in the flesh. God in a body. Jesus not only claimed that God existed, but that He was in fact God Himself. That's how we know God exists. And fourthly and finally tonight, we know that God exists because of the testimony of change. Personal testimony of a changed life is very hard to argue with. I shared some of my testimony with you last week. Each and every one of you who have faith in Jesus Christ, you have a testimony of a changed life. What you were is no longer what you are. What you are is not what you will be. You know? Isn't that good news? No one can argue with that. How do you know God exists? Well, I know God exists because I used to be a hard-drinking, drug-taking guy. And I know people look at me now and they go, I find that very hard to believe. Yes, it is, isn't it? That's because there's a God, folks. Because I'm not the guy I used to be and I'm not the guy I'm going to be. And no one can argue with you about that. Because you can't argue with someone's experience. That's my experience. That's your experience. You've experienced the life-changing power of a real God. It's changed your life from the inside out. Isn't that wonderful? That's how we know that He lives. You know, there's an old hymn, "He lives, He lives, He lives in me." You ask me how He lives in me? Because He's changed my heart. He's changed me from the inside out. So good. Isn't that awesome? It's wonderful. We have a course in this church called the Alpha Course. And if you're visiting here tonight and you've just been coming to check this out and hear some answers to these searching questions, we've got a course that goes on from here. It's called the Alpha Course. And it goes through all of the basic teachings of the Christian faith. If you want to know more about Christianity, you're saying, okay, interesting message, mate, but I'm not convinced, but I would like to find out more about this. You know, I love it when people search and seek honestly. You know, if you just say, oh no, it's a lot of rubbish, you don't know what you're talking about, I don't want to know any more about that. Well, you have the right to say that, but if you're an honest seeker, you would want to check out the facts and the truth, you know. And so can I encourage you, if that's you tonight, you're in that position where you say, okay, I don't know all about this, but I want to know more about this Christianity so I can make an informed decision, either to accept or reject the claims of Christianity. Can I encourage you to book into that course? We have another one starting soon. We have a day group and a night group. It's one morning or one evening a week for 10 weeks. And you meet with a number of people just like yourself, looking and seeking. And through that 10 weeks, you'll come to a good understanding of all the basic teachings of the Christian faith. It'll give you an opportunity to make an informed decision. Maybe tonight you're at that position where you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And right now, I'd like you just all to stand together with me, would you? And I'm going to say a prayer tonight, and I want us all as a congregation of people just to repeat this prayer together. And tonight, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to know this God that I've been talking about tonight, who created you, who wrote His law on your heart, who's changed people here and all around the world through many, many centuries from the inside out, if you want to know this God, then you say this prayer from your heart. And this will be the beginning of a process that will go off in your life and change you from the inside out tonight. So let's just bow in prayer together. I'm going to say this prayer, and I want everyone in this place to repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe that on the cross, you paid the price of my sin. Because of what I have done wrong, you tell me I deserve death. But the good news, Jesus, and I believe it, is that you died in my place so that I can live forever. I believe your resurrection sealed it for me. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, Lord, of all I've done wrong. Come into my life. And from this point on, I will live for you and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful.